So a few weeks back, I was in Nashville, Tennessee for just under a week, and I was there on business. I was there for a mastermind that I actually put on called the Amplify Mastermind, and it's been going for, some 6 odd years now, and started with just 2 or 3 of us in Charleston, South Carolina, and we just decided, you know, let's get together a couple times a year. Let's pick a new spot each time we get together around the country, and let's just share business ideas. Let's share things that are working well in life and well in business. Let's share our struggles too. Let's help each other through that. And over the years, that group has grown. You know, went from a couple people to now the invite list is about 20 to 25, and we get 13 to 15 people every single time we do it, which is about a couple times a year, and we cap it at 15. Now, you might be asking why I'm doing this. It's not to sell a spot in my mastermind because we don't have any open spots. It's not something that anyone can buy a spot in. But what I do want to do is bring up the topic of masterminds. And I can honestly say that masterminds have been critical to whatever success I've had in the past decade or so. Okay. And really, I've been engaging in masterminds really the past 5 to 6 years, mainly. And I've been in, going through my mental kind of Rolodex right now, the mastermind, of course, that myself and my former business partner, Patrick Riddle, have still the Amplify Mastermind. You know, we've been in that one for 5, 6 years. I was in my first paid mastermind in 2012, and that was a big leap for me. It was a $20,000 mastermind. And in 2012, as you guys have heard on this, on the Carrotcast, during that period of my life, I was going through some pretty big transition. You know, I was kind of exiting a business that, amazing business partner, amazing clients, great product, but I was just not in it mentally. I could not be happy doing what I was doing, and I had to figure life out basically. And it was in that period where I saw someone who, I'm going, man, this guy's got it together. And I had a chance to join their mastermind, and it changed my life. Okay. And then I took a year or two where I didn't have any masterminds. And then I was in another mastermind a year or two ago with some really, really high level people, some people who were running businesses well into the tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay. So why am I bringing this up? It's because masterminds are critical if an entrepreneur or a high performer wants to really do amazing, amazing things in their business. There's no way that any one of us can go out there and learn all that needs to be learned in a book, or learn all that needs to be learned from one coach, okay, or learn all that needs to be learned from a home study course or a forum online. What we have to do oftentimes is get around peers. We have to get around peers who are all performing at a very high level. All of us are probably good at different things, but we're all performing at a very, very, very high level. And we can all feed off of each other and learn from each other and build great relationship and help each other grow and keep each other accountable. And also just do amazing, amazing things in life. Okay. It's not just about doing more deals, doing more revenue with Carrot, adding another software user. It's not about that. Okay, you always hope you can come out of a mastermind with a financial win for sure. And I've never been in a mastermind where I didn't get at least 3, 4, 5, 10x what I invested in it. Okay, but what I always come out with the most value for is the life stuff, is how to really streamline my life and my business and get more purpose and passion out of my life and business. Okay, so what we're going to be talking about today in this episode of the Carrotcast is masterminds. I brought on one of my really good friends who's running an amazing mastermind, one of the top, not one of the top, the top real estate investor, single family home real estate investor mastermind in the world, Jason Medley. He's coming on here to talk about masterminds with me. You know, we're going to talk about our history with masterminds, why he started one, what his mastermind is doing today. We even pull out some really good tips from his mastermind, who are some of the biggest wholesalers and house flippers and rehabbers in the country that you guys can use. If you're a house flipper, wholesaler, a rehabber, we're going to give you some tips you can walk away with on this call that could literally make you 10 to 100,000 bucks, if not more, in this next 12 months, just with these tips in this call. Okay. But if you're not in a mastermind, or even if you are, this call, I think you're going to get a lot out of it. You're going to help, we're going to help you get more out of that mastermind that you're in. Okay. If you're not in a mastermind, we're going to help you find one that fits you, growing in the places that you want to grow. All right. And, if the collective genius mastermind, the one that Jason runs, is a fit for you, sweet, go check it out. Okay. But this is not a pitch for his mastermind. I just thought, man, let's get an amazing person who's deeply, deeply knowledgeable about masterminds and has a vast background in masterminds. We're going to talk masterminds, and hopefully we'll inspire you to go out there and find a mastermind that you can plug into and up level your life. All right. If you haven't listened to any other episodes of the Carrotcast, go back to carrotcast.com Remember, go to iTunes and give us a rating and review. That's what helps keep me going. That's what helps keep this podcast going. So we know we're doing good things. I know we're sitting in the mid 30s in 5-star reviews right now. Go out there and give us another. Let's get us over 50, y'all. We're almost at episode 50. I think this is 45 right now. So let's get to 50 reviews by episode 50. I know it's going to be a Herculean effort, but head over to iTunes and do it. All right. If you get any value from this hour or have from any of our past episodes, kind of pay for it in exchange with a review over on iTunes. All right. And some of the people we talk about actually on this episode, some of the biggest investors in the country, are past, Carrotcast podcast, guests. I can't talk. Carrotcast podcast guests. Brad Chandler, Martin Bones Iron, some other guys. Those are all members of the mastermind that Jason and I, are talking about. And if we're fortunate enough to meet in person at a mastermind, I so look forward to that day. But whatever it is, dive in. Let's listen to how you can uplevel your life and business with masterminds with our guest, Jason Medley. Hey, everybody. This is Trevor with Carrot, and coming at you with another awesome episode of the Carrot Cast. And first of all, I'm gonna bust Jason's chops here a little bit. So I was doing it right before we hopped on and clicked record. And we both kind of are having a little content day today. And I'm not going to get in the PC and Mac argument here at all, because I already did that. I already did that before we started here. But we had a little bit of technical difficulty. So if you guys hear any buzzing in the background, it's not a swarm of bees chasing me down or a swarm of bees chasing Jason down or something. It is his PC working its butt off over there trying to keep up with what's going on here. So I'm messing with you, man.
But that said, the buzz will be worth it, right? We're about to rock the house for the next 30 minutes or so. So pay attention. We're going to give you some good stuff here, and the buzz will be worth it.
Exactly, guys and gals. Yep. And I brought Jason on here for several reasons. Number one, him and I have known each other for, I think, going on 8 years or so, through multiple businesses that we've seen each other, you know, go through and start and things like that. And we've been pretty darn involved with you from kind of the outside perspective the last 2 or 3 years with your main focus today, which is Collective Genius, like the mastermind for real estate investors, for high achieving real estate investors, guys who are like doing really, really active deals, a lot of deals. And we'll get into that here in a bit. Sure. But man, you've been an active real estate investor for a long time. I know you lend a lot of money, especially to your CG members. But dude, I just kind of want to dive in and talk a couple things. I want to talk about masterminds. I want to talk about the importance of a mastermind. I'm in a couple myself, one here locally and one that I put on a couple times a year. And it's one of the most valuable, couple day periods that I do whenever I'm out there doing, at a mastermind. I'm going to be joining you guys here in a few months, there in San Diego, which I'm excited about.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to that, my friend.
Yeah. So I want to kind of wrap people's mind around how to really take your game to the next level, whether you're just getting going in real estate. I guarantee there's a mastermind out there that can fit where you are and help take you where you want to be. Whether you're doing 5, 10, 15, 20 deals a month, I guarantee there's a mastermind out there, likely CG, that's going to help you either scale it up or yank more profits out of it or have more time while you're doing it, all those kinds of things. So we're just going to dive and have a good conversation and share some also really actionable tips that you guys can take away. There's a tip I know we're going to be talking about that could literally save you. I was talking with one of our Carrot clients and a CG member, also a Brad Chandler. He's been on the Carrot Cast, and I talked about a year ago. He's like, dude, this one thing that I learned from this CPA that they connected with at CG saved him like $100,000 in taxes. We're going to tell you guys what that is here on this call.
Here's the better part as we get into the details. Uh-huh. It was $100,000 retroactive.
Yep.
It will continue going forward year after year to save him that type of money. Right?
Exactly. And there's several other actual like real estate deal making tips we're going to share here, but we're just going to talk entrepreneur to entrepreneur, some awesome stuff. So Jason Medley, welcome on the Carrot Cast, man.
Yeah, man. Excited to have you. Excited to be here. Super juiced about getting into some nitty gritty stuff today and figuring out how we can help your listeners. You know, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Don't take it for granted. I know that you have a lot of talented folks that you have the ability to pick from to be on the Carrot Cast. So just honored and privileged to be here and looking forward to having some fun today.
Man, so I kind of want to take it back a little bit And shoot, I can't remember the exact first time that we met, but like I said, I think it was around 2008, 2009, you know, right around that time period. And I don't remember specifically what business you were in. It was something around the short sales, because I know short sales were just a big deal back then. So why don't you give people a little bit of perspective on kind of where you've been career-wise, life-wise, the past decade, sure, and where you are now?
Sure. I have been self-employed, entrepreneur, whatever you want to call it, since 2000. Went through a major life struggle from a health perspective, and was kind of getting out of corporate America. And in 2000, I was a retail mortgage broker, right? And so those were the good old days, if you will. Rates were low. Everybody was refinancing. There was a new construction boom here in Florida. Exciting time. After a year, started my own shop. Was busting it up, you know, first steps as an entrepreneur, gain a lot of momentum, cranking out 75 to 100 loans a month. Things were good. And then the market crashed, and I crashed with it, right? The whole nine yards, lost my business, lost my marriage. I'm not sure in which order, but, it all just kind of, evaporated. But in reality, most situations like that, given a little bit of hindsight, become blessing. And it was a huge blessing for me, because I learned, and I would encourage everybody right now to listen to what I'm about to say, because some of you, depending upon how long you've been in the business, this may be in effect for you. I learned when I got my tail kicked, that my success had been driven by the market. And there are a lot of people right now whose success is being driven by a very strong real estate market, yeah, right? And when that market changed, I was no longer successful. And the reason was because I did not know how to market, right? My success was driven by the market, but I did not know how to market to create a lead, right? It was shooting fish in a barrel at that time. So my point is, one takeaway right off the bat, right? We're a couple minutes into this. If you're in a business or you're completely operationally based, right? You're picking deals off of publicly available inventory sources like MLS or auction.com or the stuff that everybody can get their hands on, right? And then all you got to do is put it out an operational machine through the backside where you wholesale it out or rehab it. You're really positioning yourself to go through what I went through. And so I hope what I'm telling you will kind of give you a knee-jerk reaction, yeah, in that right now a lot of people are, and here's the thing, when the market's hot, and I know I'm deviating, but you're hitting something, Trevor, right off the bat that I think is super important right now. The market, as it was fixing my mistakes at that time, the market is fixing a lot of people's mistakes, right?
Yep.
You go in, you get a house, you jack it all up, you get money that's too expensive, you end up with underestimating the rehab by $12,000, your contractors blow and they take 2 months extra, and at the end of the day, you sell it and you still make money. That is very likely probable because you are in a good market.
Yep.
And when that market begins, even just to flatten, right, just to dissipate and inventory loosens up a little bit, that forgiveness is not going to be granted.
No.
Right? All those things that we just talked about, you're going to get crushed because the market forgives all that. It's a good market forgives those mistakes, right? So anyway, I've deviated there, but you hit something that I thought was important, right?
Dude, I want to talk market stuff really quick here before we move on to the next part of kind of your backstory here, because that's really important. I want people to really sink this into their brains right now, because we've heard this from multiple, and I mean lots of savvy investors over the past year, where they're in their markets, they're seeing things change, and they were going from, shoot, you know, I'm doing 10 or 12 flips right now, and I'm going to start to scale that inventory down and pile up cash and get smarter with my stuff. And those of you who are just now starting to ramp up in these markets, you might be caught holding the bag if it changes. And a lot of it too, you know, for a lot of new people, they'll look at those, you know, TLC and HGTV flipping shows and stuff. And we've got some of those people as our clients, you know, Tarek and Christina, and there's several others. And I'm sure they're all great operators. They've got to make good TV, and who knows which deals the cameras were actually on.
Sure.
But you'll see just crazy low margins on some of those things. And a lot of people kind of come through that method of being introduced into real estate investing, think that's the way that they should do it. Slim margins, you know, based on the appreciation. I'm at my mastermind last month. Ken Wade, who we both know. He's an insanely smart dude. He's like a Harvard MBA in mathematics or something like that. He'd been just socked away the past 4 or 5 months just analyzing market data, and they're rolling out this new market analyzation tool. And he said, man, I was really surprised. 20% of the markets that they're analyzing, which is like 200 and something markets, he said 20% of the markets have already shown signs of decline. He goes, a year ago, it was something like 6 or 7%. So there are markets around the country that are starting to either level out or even starting to decline a little bit. So if you're not feeling that in your market, just be aware, like Jason's saying, of how your business is operating and make sure you're doing it well. And we'll talk about some of that stuff, I'm sure, as we go.
Yeah. So again, sorry to deviate, but that was a lesson I learned in a big way. And yeah. I think like so many people, you got to be careful right now because the market is driving certain people's success. But with that said, we'll regress a little bit and go back to bottom line is I got my butt kicked and then was trying to figure out, what do I do with the skill set that I've developed for the 7 or 8 years I was in the mortgage business. And a very short stint, got into flipping short sales. And the reason I chose how to flip short sales back in, I don't know, 08 or 09 or whatever it was, because you didn't need money, right? Like you could do a dry funding. In other words, you could buy a house in the morning for 200 grand and resell it for 250 the same day and use your in buyer's money. And so I started doing that because I didn't have any. I was broke. So BBD is what we call it, right? Broke, busted, and disgusted. But the beautiful part about that is that I was just getting my feet wet, right? Like getting back on my feet, getting a few bucks. And then the rules changed, right? They said you can't use your in buyer's money. You got to bring your own. You got to bring real money to closing on your side. And so, although at the time that seemed like a curse, we turned it into a blessing. And that's when things really began to get back on track for me. At the time I started iVisionary. I think that's when you and I met, Trevor. I started a financial company called iVisionary Financial, and we had a very specialized funding called transactional funding. And so basically, we would fund money for one day. Same scenario, you're buying at 200, selling at 250, we would give you the 250 or the 200 for the couple of hours that you needed it, right? And it was irrelevant of your credit or job or anything because you had the house resold immediately. So that's when I started to get back on my feet, started gaining some traction again. And that kind of evolved into the mastermind in regards to because we would bring people into our fold from the funding side. And we would give trainings, right? Like people would go to our site, they'd want more information. They would opt in, and then I would do a ton of trainings and case studies of here's how they did the deal. Here's how we funded it. You go out and do it and we'll bring you the money. Right. And so, in trying to figure out how to get more eyeballs from a marketing standpoint, I was involved in a mastermind myself. Hanging out there with a friend of mine, he says, Jason, why don't you do this in the investing space? There's not really anybody doing it, and you're positioned to do it. And so I looked around and said, I've got this guy over here that I'm funding 11 deals for a month. This guy's doing 7 deals a month. Like some of these guys were cranking, right? And so I said, I kind of got the idea of why don't I take the – rather than – to me, right, and I'm going to cringe when I say this, I take it personal – the word mastermind is I feel grossly overused.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, from a marketing perspective, a lot of times it's some guy who's going to be the smartest dude in the room, filled with a room full of folks who are, for lack of a better term, definitely not his peers, and everybody's kind of sponging or soaking from him. And I wanted to start a true mastermind where everybody in the room was a player and they were your peers. And we could help graduate each other continually to the next level. So that's what happened. The Collective Genius was born, I think, about 6 or 6.5 years ago. And I took my funding customers at the time to start it, right? I did a webinar to our customer base, invited some folks to come. And I think I remember there may have been 10 or 11 folks, including me, at the first one. And I can tell you, it didn't go like I wanted it to. I'll be completely candid and transparent. I think I might have had a few tears roll down my face because you work so hard and you put so much effort and energy into something, and it doesn't turn out like you wanted to. But here we are, 6.5 years later. There's a one in front of that 10 now. We've got about 110 members. We have an epic caliber of member. Perfect example, Brad Chandler, who you just spoke about, a customer of yours, a customer of mine. He's a typical guy in the Collective Genius. He does north of 150, 170 rehabs a year. I think probably right now probably has north of 70-plus rental units, but also one of the guys who's saying he's liquidating some of those because he's bought in at the right time.
Yeah.
But we take those folks, right, and we place them in a room and we share our systems, our strategies, our resources. And then the joint venturing and really kind of, deal flow that takes place, money being lent, money being borrowed, houses being bought, houses being sold, is really off the charts as well. And so, here we are, 6.5 years later and, I've really been blessed enough to put together a really, really special group. Something I'm very passionate about.
Man, and this isn't because you're on the call. I mean, you're on the call because I wanted you on the call and the network you put together and just our friendship over the years. But I'm not saying this because you're on the call. That group are among like the best house flippers, wholesalers, and other types of investors in the country. And I was just out in Nashville a couple weeks ago from my mastermind that I hold a couple times a year. And met with Dan Lane, the largest home buyer in Tennessee, who's a CG member. And you kind of – you walk into that place, man, and it's definitely a lot different caliber of investor in person. I'm saying this for those of you who are listening to this episode of the Carrot Cast or watching the video of it on YouTube. I'm not – if you're not in this group, don't take it the wrong way. If you're not in this type of investor or in this spot in your business yet, that you walk into a company like Dan's or Brad's or, any of those who are real operators, man, there's something different. They've got a team. I'm not saying everyone in CG has a team because I don't know all 100, but lots of them do. They have a team, they have processes, they're doing real marketing, like you mentioned. They're not just going grabbing stuff off the MLS. I mean, they have marketing machines.
Yes.
And we were sitting there in their office for over an hour talking about all the tracking that they have going on, and we're helping them tighten some of it up because they're using Carrot for a lot of the online stuff. And they're doing some really advanced stuff. And that's the kind of stuff that when you surround yourself with people of that caliber, you get stuff that people, even if they've done 50 deals, are probably not even doing or have never even thought about. Yeah. So
that's actually a perfect example. When you talk about tracking, all your tracking, because I've actually seen Dan's, mm-hmm. right? All tracking flows up into what we call in CG a CEO dashboard, mm-hmm. right? Because that's kind of part of the graduation process. I look at not just with my members, but in business in general. You've got like three phases, right? Like the term entrepreneur is overused as well. You got self-employed, you got business owner, and then you got entrepreneur, mm-hmm. right? And so really when you're getting up and running as an investor, you don't have a CEO dashboard, right? You're trying to get houses flipped and money in the bank. But as you graduate and build your team, that's a concept that's been introduced at CG. And, everybody is helping each other get their data flown, kind of dialed into a central type of dashboard to where exactly what's going on in your business down to the T, right? And then you begin running the business from those numbers.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of that stuff built in here at Carrot, but I think the people that are listening are probably really curious, man. What do you see a lot of the big guys that are flipping houses or wholesaling or rehabbing or whatever, what do you see them putting in their CEO dashboard? What are they looking at?
Oh, gosh. I mean, a lot of the guys, their dashboards are almost overwhelming. It's so like Dan's is pretty in-depth, right? And each person has a different business, and they're going to track different metrics. A rehabber is going to track different metrics than a wholesaler. But, from a wholesaling perspective, you really need to consider a couple of key metrics, right? If you're looking to really start dialing your business in and you really haven't done a whole lot as far as measuring KPIs or developing CEO dashboards, a couple things you obviously want to track your marketing, right? Mm-hmm. Like how many leads are you generating? How many of those leads are turning into appointments? How many of those appointments are turning into sales,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you want to look at, okay, I spent $10,000. I did four deals. What's my cost per lead on this particular marketing piece, right? If it's direct mail, I spent 10 grand and I got four deals, and my cost per deal is $2,500, right? You know, and see, all the analytics are different for each marketing piece, right? Pay per click, it's a different set of metrics, right? But again, those are some of your biggest. And you may say, well, what do I do with that data, right? Well, if you know those numbers, say for example, how many appointments does it take to actually get a contract, right? So, if your acquisitions team makes five appointments and they get one contract, if you notice that ratio start to fall, then you may need to jump in and focus on conversion in your business, right? How do I, what do I need to do to keep my salespeople sharp? Or, you know, is our quality of lead going down? Or you know, you really want to, because that's what the data enables you to do, you know, it is really look at and identify the holes. Data is no good without the interpretation of the data.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, totally. And that's the same thing with us. You know, I mean, there's a bajillion metric points that you can be looking at. Even if we're just looking at pay-per-click, you could be looking at cost per click and all this stuff. And I honestly don't really care about the cost per click. What I care about is my cost per lead and then working that over into my cost per deal. And like you mentioned, that kind of thing. So, dude, and that
it can really get a little bit obnoxious, some of the stuff. I mean, some investors out there, a lot like Dan and Brad, some of them are so refined. Like, for example, from a rehab perspective, if you know how long it typically takes you from the time you buy the house to the time you contract or time you close on the resale, some of these guys are doing such volume that if they say, okay, that typically takes us 63 days, if we can cut that to 53 days, our cost of money right, then they can extrapolate that over to their cost of money, and then put it back to what's that actually going to translate to the bottom line. If we can cut our rehab time down 10 days, what does that equate to? From our, how does that extrapolate over to our cost of money?
Yeah,
right.
That's
and then
cool.
That. So I mean, you know, some of these dashboards are pretty crazy. Right? But when you're running a business that big, it becomes a game of inches.
Man, so I want to unpack the mastermind idea right now, because this is something that for many people, a mastermind is probably a new concept. And for a lot of people, they've been in multiple masterminds. They've heard of them, probably even heard of CG or know people in CG if you're operating at that level. But dude, on the mastermind side, so in your mind, I mean, there's so many things we could do talking about on the mastermind side. Why is it critical that someone, and I feel it is critical, why is it critical that someone that is going to play at a high level is in a mastermind? And I'm going to say versus a coaching program. And I'm not saying that they have to be one or the other, but they are definitely two separate things. Many people use a coach to help up-level them and a mastermind. But where does the mastermind play into someone's growth when you're wanting to take to that next level?
I think it plays into growth from a lot of different areas, right? Number one, you do not know what you do not know. Okay, that's the first thing I'll tell you. I don't care if you're flipping 50 houses a year or you're flipping 250 houses a year. You don't know what you don't know, and you may think if you flip 50 houses a year, what are you going to teach me about real estate, right? Like, maybe what you need to know isn't about real estate, right? Because the reality is the guy flipping 250 homes, when you're flipping 50, he may not teach you a lot about real estate, but he's going to teach you a whole lot about running a business, right? Because his business and his problems are completely and vastly different than yours when you're doing 50 deals, right? Yeah. So I think a lot of people get stuck in the idea of like, oh, I've been doing deals forever. What's somebody going to teach me about real estate? Sometimes it has nothing to do with real estate, but more about running the business, right? Perfect example is what you just spoke about. Like, if you don't know your number, there's guys doing 50 deals that don't know their numbers. If you don't know your numbers, you're not playing at 100%, you know? So I think there's a couple components. Number one, you can kind of get to the point where you're in your market. You might think you're the big dog, but you don't get an opportunity to routinely see what other people are doing from a systems standpoint, a strategies standpoint, a resources standpoint. A lot of times what inhibits people from growing is hiring, right? They're just terrible at it. They have no system, no process. They hire on data versus performance. And so you don't get to network and figure out what other people are doing who have pushed through some of the challenges that you're having, right? Yeah. Then the other thing, you know what? Let me ask you a question. Would this be cool? And you're not going to be able to see it, but it'll be an example. I have somebody that just seat deposited for CG. Mm-hmm. Guy out of Baltimore doing 240 rehabs a year. Why would this guy need any help?
Yeah.
Right. And this gentleman's name is Craig. Here it is, right here. Right.
Oh, dude, he's Craig. With last name starts with an R. Yeah, he's a client of ours.
Okay, perfect, right? Yeah. 240, renovate and resell 240 homes a year. Wow, why are you coming to CG for, right? What are you coming to mastermind for, right? Dude's a baller.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's keep it real, right? Although he is doing that, he still wants to grow. Mm-hmm. And so on the applicant, one of the things that we ask, right, because we want to know in advance exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to help people. Mm. His biggest challenges are more opportunity to buy homes below market value, learning to take advantage of wholesaling because all he does is rehabs, right? Using the understanding the opportunity and challenges of rapidly growing rental portfolio. Mm-hmm. So, again, why would a guy come to a group when he's doing 240 rehabs a year? And these are the reasons why. So when I get on the phone and we start strategizing, I begin to ask him, how are you generating the leads for those 240 homes, mm-hmm. right? And of course, that helps me understand what he's not doing, right? And so, for example, the majority of his leads are being bought at auction, mm-hmm. not doing any direct mail, very little PPC. So when he comes into a mastermind, I can sit him down and pair him up with someone who, like I can stick him with Brad, who's probably direct mailing, I don't know, 50 or 100,000 postcards a month, mm-hmm. and he can help Craig get that dialed in, right? And the thing that I don't want to get lost in, you think, whoa, how hard is it to stick mail in a mailbox? Direct mail is way bigger than that, my friend, right? Like, if you're dropping 75,000 postcards a month, that's 750 phone calls into your office on a monthly basis you're not getting right now. Mm. How are those processed? How do they get into your CRM? What call systems are you using? How do you have acquisitions managers that are highly trained assassins that are going to close the enough leads, right? All that stuff, even when you're doing 240 deals a year, if you don't do direct mail, you don't have a sales floor, mm-hmm. you don't know how to do it.
Yep.
You know? Learning to take advantage of wholesaling. He does none of that right now. Mm-hmm. The market is so competitive right now, and construction is so difficult to manage because of the constraints on the labor pool, that guys like this that can crank out properties, again, I'll go with a common customer, Brad, a lot of them are migrating to wholesale because the sad reality of it is that somebody who's just came out of, you know, weekend flipping school is going to overpay for that property.
Yep.
And so instead of them, that's just where the market is. That's what the market is gifting people right now, right? And so if he's not doing wholesaling, as he begins to generate these leads, we'll help him build out his buyer's list, right? I'll stick him with somebody who's maybe a complete stud like an Andy McFarlane or Gabriel Garcia, and they will begin to solve his problems and help him with that. This gentleman has 70-plus rehabs right now. He wants to be at 110 by the end of this year.
Yeah.
You cross that 75 mark, 100 mark, the management of those portfolios takes on a whole different level of skill, right? Mm-hmm. And set of team members. And so maybe I'll put him with a guy like a Mike Osborne who has 300 plus rentals, mm-hmm. right? Down the line, he's where Craig is trying to go.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so I will be able to put those guys together to help each other, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe the guy who's knocking it out with direct mail, who's never bought at auction, Craig can school him on going to pick up another 30 deals a year at auction because mm-hmm. he's just a direct mail, right? And so that's what a mastermind does for you, right? But it's even bigger than that. So as he begins to scale and he goes from 240 to 340 deals a year, look at how much extra capital that's going to require, mm-hmm. right? Where's the capital going to come from? From your mastermind,
yep.
right?
Yep.
It's going to come from your mastermind. You want to roll up and and do pay-per-click? Where are the right vendors, the tried and true tested vendors that are actually working with high caliber investors who have a track record? Where are those people going to come from? Mm-hmm. Not people traveling in it, not a guy that drives pay-per-click for attorneys or a catering business.
Not from the bigger pockets forums, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
Right. Where are the rock star service providers going to come from? From your mastermind.
Yep.
Right. So, that's what a mastermind does for you. I don't care what level you're at. It is the single, if you've ever read Think and Grow Rich, right? It's one of the most respected business books on the planet. It's been, I don't know how long ago was that book written, you know,
long time ago, man, 100 years ago. I don't know.
But it was a study of the titans of industry, and the single most common factor they had that contributed to their success, they all said it was one thing. It was a mastermind, mm-hmm. where they left their business for a couple of days, separated themselves, and sat down with their peers who are knocking it out of the park and figure out how to get better together.
Mm-hmm. And so one thing you just mentioned right there, and you kind of led into a conversation thread that I wanted to kind of dive into is so on one side, in this podcast, guys and gals, is not a sales pitch in CG. Jason's got the best mastermind in the real estate industry, but I want to talk masterminds with y'all because I think everyone who wants to perform better needs to be in one. And being frank, most of the people listening to this won't qualify for CG anyway. So, but how can you guys go out there and find a mastermind that's going to help up level you and then maybe strive to get in CG once you get to that qualification level? But so the other thing that you mentioned there was you're going to pull away from your business for a couple of days every quarter or something like that, right?
Right.
Now, I've been a part of masterminds that were once every 6 months, once a quarter, once every 4 months, you know, all around the gamut there. And I know for me, the ones that I got the most value out of is when I went at least 3 to 4 times a year.
Yes.
A couple times a year, it was cool connecting with the people. That's kind of how mine is that I run. Cause it's not a mastermind where we're, honestly, we're just getting together. Our wives go, you know, there's like 14 of us that 14 or 15 of us that go. Usually half of the guys' wives come. There's this wives club now and they pick where we're going to the next spot. And it's always so valuable.
Going shop next, sucker.
Yeah, what is, I think we're going to Napa next or something like that. Yeah. But we go there and I always have one mission. One mission is let me make sure that I make this a positive, massive positive financial ROI. Because it's really hard to justify the time you're taking away, the money that you're investing in that, your hotel, your flight, all that stuff, yes. If it's out of town. And in the stuff that you just talked about there, connecting with just one person, getting just one idea, making sure that you actually implement those when you get back. That's the first thing. The second thing is what you mentioned on taking the time away from your business. And that for me, most people don't do. And oftentimes the mastermind is the only time that these people do it. And, it's so valuable having that 48 hours or whatever it is. It ends up being more because of travel and you get on the airplane. Dude, that's what I do. I'm on the airplane on my flight. I'm thinking about business. I'm digesting on my flight back what I learned. What am I going to put into play?
What are you going to implement?
Exactly. And so it ends up being a 3 to 4 day with travel time since I can't find anywhere where it's a close flight from Oregon. But San Diego is actually an awesome flight. It's like 2.5-3 hours. It's sweet. But it ends up being just my time to work on the business that forces me to do so. And that's just a huge benefit masterminds when structured correctly also have. So, and then on your guys, you guys are quarterly, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We get together about every 90 days. That's just long enough to part for you to fall back victim to your own devices, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, with masterminds, and I'll say this, too. Trevor and I have been friends for years. This isn't a commercial. I'm just very passionate about what I do, so don't excuse my passion for pitching or anything like that. I enjoy it, right? Super passionate about it. But that frequency gives you accountability, right? Because here's what happens. You're on the plane. You're on your way back home, and you're trying to sift and sort out what am I actually going to implement. And the reality of it is that when you go through a mastermind, can we talk a little bit about the format?
Yeah, dude, totally.
Okay, so like the way that we run CG is that we have what we call a hot seat. So each person in our organization gets up in front of the rest of the group. And it's kind of like you have your board of directors, right? You get up in front of them. You got to share a system, a strategy, or a resource that you're using right then and there to be successful, mm-hmm. right? That's kind of your gift. The other side of that is you get to receive. And so you get to address your problems, your biggest challenges in front of this group of very highly talented people who then, again, act as your board of directors to begin helping you solve those problems, yep. right? And so that's the first step in solving those challenges. And when you get back and you get on the airplane, you're like, okay, I've got 20 things I could do and implement here. What are the top three? What are the priorities? And the reality is in 3 months, you're going to show back up again. And people are going to be asking you about that, mm-hmm. right? Did mm-hmm. you do that? Did you get that fixed? Did you secure that relationship, right? Did you make that key hire? And you just – you don't want to show up and you just – you don't yeah. want to be a dud, right? Like, and the thing of it is too is – and I've reached a point in my life. I'm almost 45 years old. I don't operate from a place of I'm driving – this is my ship. I'm driving it. I'm not – succumb to peer pressure anymore, but there's certainly mm-hmm. a sense of not wanting to disappoint, because typically when you get in a mastermind, they're not just members, these are people that care about you,
yeah,
and they want to see you grow. So it's not driven from a peer pressure as much as it is, you know, you get to where you care for and love these people, mm-hmm. and you want to grow, and you're growing together,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when you come back in 3 months, which because you typically meet every quarter, you don't want to show up like not having done anything, mm-hmm. you know.
And that's a big deal, man. And like I said, for people listening to this episode of the Carrot Cast, I want you guys to go away, you know, after this podcast and grab a piece of paper and kind of write down the things in your business or your life that you want to tackle that you think if you surrounded yourself with a pure group of people like you or ahead of you, that's the important yes. thing. But if they're like you, they all can't be, hey, you know, we're all doing nothing. It's got to be, you're all at a decently similar level, but each one of you are good at different things possibly, so you can help each other. But right. jot down the things that you really believe you need to learn and grow at right now. And go out there and see if you can find a mastermind or structure your own. That's one thing that I've seen people do. I've done it myself where locally, let's say you want just something local. Right? Find the people locally that you could possibly structure under a mastermind. You guys get together monthly or quarterly or something like that. We've even done that here at my office building here, the Loft, as a part of membership at the Loft. That's one of the ways that we fill our space and charge more money is it's not just renting walls. You actually get membership to this community. And we have a mastermind each month. And it's people, I mean, Seth, two offices away from me, a mentor of mine, good friend of mine, been here in the law for 4 years. He's sold a company when he was 28 for $18 million, lost almost all that money, and built up another company that they did $60 million in revenue there last year. And he sold that company last year to tech company. And he ran it here out of Roseburg, Oregon. It's a Silicon Valley based company. He ran it here because he loves the lifestyle here. And you've got another guy, one of the largest bow hunting content publishers in the country here in the Loft. And you can just keep on going around here. We've surrounded ourselves with great people, but we always come out of those mastermind sessions with insights because Seth has insights for me that I don't have because he's built the company to 60, 70 employees and we're at 14. So there's a lot I can learn there.
Yes.
Cody's business isn't near as big as ours, but he's great on the lifestyle side. He forces us to get out. We went out and mountain bike riding last week and got our first one in of the year. So,
you know what, so Trevor, you just hit on something that I think is incredibly important. One of the things that we always say when we're kicking off a CG meeting is not all growth is measured in bigger numbers, mm-mm. right? So when you talk about lifestyle, sometimes a mastermind, because majority of what we're talking about right here is growth, you know, more deals, more this, mm-hmm. more that, more postcards, more marketing, more. The reality of it is that typically you're going to walk into a mastermind and your growth may be measured in smaller numbers. And so what does that really mean? So we might have a guy say who's doing, you know, 200 deals a year and wants to do 300. But you might have a guy who's doing 300 and say, you know what? I'm working 90 hours a week. My wife can't stand me. My dog barks at me when I come home because they think I'm a stranger. And I don't want to make another red cent. I just I'm cool with the amount of money I'm making. I want to 300 deals is great, but I want to get down to where I'm working 30 hours a week or 40 hours a week. Yeah. And so growth for that individual, growth for you, whoever's listening, don't get caught up in like, you know, that coming to a mastermind is all about bigger, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is certainly an emphasis on that, but it's also a calculated emphasis, and not everyone is there to just get bigger numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Some folks are there to like tame their business. Sometimes you can be a prisoner, a slave to your business rather than it being a slave to you. And some folks come in really to get things under control.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah? I'll tell you what, dude, just over the years and all the masterminds that I've been a part of, the one, once again, I'm just going to kind of reflect back to the one that I run. It's a very informal mastermind. You know, it's not real estate based, so it's not something that, you know, we focus on real estate side of it. We have real estate investors in there, but that's not why they're in there. We've been running this for probably 5 or 6 years, and at the start, it was always, you know, it was the tactical stuff. It was the, hey, here's what you can do to get better performance here, and here's what you can do to increase your revenue here. And it seemed like year after year, you know, Ken Wade is a good example of that, where he, 2 years ago, and again, this last couple months, he goes, hey, man, it's really funny. The first couple of years, we just talked about performance and conversion and this and that. And he goes, now like 80% of our time is talking about life stuff. You know, and I think a big part of it is what you're mentioning there is the relationships you build in a mastermind. I know that's one of my favorite things is, any mastermind that I now go join or look at joining, I look at it and go, okay, I know just the personality that I am. And if I get around the right people, I know I'm going to make a financial ROI from it. It's not a question. I know that's going to happen. Sure. Because I'm an action taker and I'll make it happen. And if it's the right people, I'll ask the right questions, I'll come away with the right insights. But I look at it and go, man, are these people that I want to continue to grow with year after year after year? I'm not going in for 1 year and going, okay, I'm going to get my nuggets and bounce. I'm like, I'm going to be here for a long, long time. And I want to grow with these people so I can be vulnerable, so they can be vulnerable, so we can help each other in life stuff.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I think there's a transition that takes place, right? Like, there's different points in your life. There's different income levels where, like, if you either reach a certain age or a certain income level or both, often it's both at the same time, mm-hmm. right? Where the importance of money begins to lag because you have more than you need, right? Mm-hmm. Not that, you know, everybody's a billionaire or everything, but you get to a point where you're like, you don't wake up every day like a hungry bear thinking you gotta go tackle the world, right? Mm-hmm. And so your priorities begin to shift. And so when you're looking at a mastermind, it's not just a monetary ROI. There's a leadership component, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually something that we are looking to do this year in CG is to create a very small subgroup of folks of our existing members, where we go away for a couple of days and we're not talking about money. We're talking about, who are you becoming as a father? Who are you becoming as a mother? Who are you as a husband? Who are you as a wife? What does it mean to you right now to be a leader? And does that equate to what your children and your spouse sees as a leader? Mm-hmm. How are you impacting your community? How is your business serving a bigger purpose other than just putting money in your pocket? Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I mean, a mastermind, I always say people come for business and they stay for community, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Because the bottom line is, if you get around smart people, you're going to make more money because of it. Mm-hmm. And so you get to a point where you almost take that for granted, and then you begin to look at, how is this organization helping me grow as a human being?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, I could talk about mastermind stuff all day long, because I inherently, I just love talking about success stuff. I love talking about high performance. I love talking about mission and purpose and vision. Dude, right before this call, I mean, this whole week, I've been working on packaging up everything for onboarding our new team members as we grow. Cause we just hired 4 new people, and I'm like, I got to really create great systems as we scale more to really, lay out our vision and our values in a much more methodical way for new hires. And dude, that's something I could talk about all day long. That's really exciting that you're looking at making that move, whatever that move looks like with that subset of people in CG, man. Because that right there, that kind of stuff is what's going to change the game and make massive ripple effects outside of it. You know, that's where the people go from, like you're saying, turning deals to changing lives or creating massive legacies. And I'm passionate about that stuff. And you know, that's baked into the core of what we are here at Caris. That's exciting. You guys are doing that.
That's another big point. Like if you're listening right now to this podcast and you're driving your business without a set of clearly defined core values, mm-hmm. You have a cap on where you're going. Mm-hmm. I know that's a blanket statement, may appear a little bit strong, but being in a position where I get to look at almost 110 of the top investors in the country, I see them progress. And as they grow, like if your culture is not defined, it is defined.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You get some people say, oh, we don't have a culture. Oh, you do. You do. It may not be the one you've purposefully created, but every business has a culture. Mm-hmm. And if you're not operating from a place of core values where you hire from that set of core values, you fire from that set of core values, you drive your business from that set of core values, it's what unifies your team. You are absolutely placing a cap on yourself. Mm-hmm.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I love this. I'm not going to say any more because I could talk another hour about that. So what I do want to do is fulfill the promise that I broached at the top of this podcast is, dude, those couple tips we were kind of mentioning, and I know we don't have like a ton of time here, but I would love to dive into a couple of those insights so we can pass over to our podcast members, the CG community. I mean, there's tons of insights every quarter, of course, but the CG community has put out there. Let's go to that one tax savings tip with where Brad was the one that alerted me of it, and he was a big recipient of it. So what the heck is it, and who can take advantage of that, and how did you learn about it through CG?
Sure. Short backstory. Brad, who's a customer of Carrot and also a customer of mine in CG, God does a lot of rehabs, right? And so this is by and large for rehabbers, or if you are building to rent, building new homes, bottom line construction, okay? Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that we do for Collective Genius members when they come in is ask them, are they taking the DPAD deduction, right? It's called domestic production. I forget the actual acronym, mm-hmm. right? What I do know is every new member that comes in, when they're a rehabber, we immediately hit that because we pay for their membership through this, right? So Basically, it allows you, if you're constructing, right, producing and constructing in the United States through your rehab business, there's a deduction that you can take that you probably aren't, right? 90% of the rehabbers that are in our organization nor their accountants are familiar with it, but it's called DPAD, D-P-A-D, and it's a deduction that you can take that can have a significant – and here's the best part about it, right? You can review it right away, the disclaimer, right? I'm not a CPA, I'm not an accountant, but I'm 100% – minus like 0.111 for sure. So 99.9% sure you can go retroactive 24 months. In other words, you can look at your past two tax returns, go back, get that deduction, and then continue getting it forward. And it's something that like literally this podcast right here, if you're spending a decent amount of money on construction materials in your building, this podcast could be a game changer for you by taking that information, taking it to your CPA. And I'd also tell you, if your CPA hasn't heard of it and kind of throws up the question mark and doesn't aggressively pursue this, you may have outgrown your CPA.
Yep.
So that's one thing. If you're rehabbing houses, building new construction, building the rent, whatever it may be, you definitely need to do that, right? Hmm. So a couple of other things that can put money in your pocket right away. If you're generating leads, let's say you get 100 leads, two of them are hot, you close them right away. The other 98, they're not ready to go, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in the beginning or middle phases of growing your business, that's how many you're going to close too, right? Those leads get burnt or they're not being dumped into a CRM. They're just evaporating, right? Mm-hmm. The reality of the matter is what separates the men from the boys in this scenario is that time and circumstance changes. And out of that 100 leads, you close two. There's probably 8 to 10 more people whose time and circumstance will change that will sell their home in the next 6 months, right? So if you don't have the right systems in place, the right automated follow-up systems in place, your conversion on a lead, per lead basis is dismal. Mm-hmm. And so something that could, a couple things that could really, really change that for you, where you're spending X amount of dollars to generate X amount of leads and closing X amount of deals, to increase that, right, without spending more money and generate more leads, is a couple things, right? Number one, about every 90 days, and this can vary depending upon how many leads you're generating, but about every 90 days, you should do an export out of your database of all the leads who haven't bought their house, right? You can then import them into what's called Sly Broadcast, right? And Sly Broadcast is a system where you can import phone numbers, you can create a pre-recorded message that bypasses their voicemail. So it effectively looks like they missed a call from you, right? And then it leaves them a message, hey, Mr. Jones, big hiccup in the stock market yesterday, dropped 600 points. We're looking to acquire more houses. If that's making you nervous or you want to, we're ready to rock. Whatever your message is, it should have some purpose, right? It's not should have some purpose, a call to action. And so, say you've got 5,000 leads in your database over the last 90 days. Now when you send that Sly Broadcast out, you're going to create a whole new slew of inbound calls, because there's a chunk of those folks whose their time and circumstance has changed and they need to sell now, right? Mm-hmm. So all those leads that you thought were vapor or were burnt, it's going to change. And that can be a complete game changer right now. For those leads that are just sitting there, if they come into your CRM, do you have automated follow-up sequences for at least 12 months, right? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Do you have automated follow-up sequences, or when they get dumped into your CRM, based upon how they're tagged as hot, medium, cold, warm, whatever it may be, do they go into a sequence for the next 12 months? They're getting emails from you, checking back in with them. They're getting automated text messages, checking back in with them. They're getting another piece of direct mail. The bottom line is that those who have the follow-up are decimating those who don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the harsh reality of it.
Big time.
Right? Yeah. And the crazy thing is, you could have investor A and investor B generating the same amount of leads, right? But the person who is, scraping their database every 90 days, doing a Slide Broadcast, the ones who have built out the systems, the autoresponders, the text messages, additional postcards, or you use a program that are, a CRM that already has that built in, those are the people leveling up right now. Those are the people who, you talk to the same lead and they got it because they had the systems in place to follow up. Or even as simple as hiring a VA that calls your entire database once a month.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yep.
I mean, we have guys in CG, they say, they got the VAs on staff, they could call them till they die. Mm-hmm. It's just, and some of the things, this deal was in our database for 25 months, or this deal was in our database for 18 months, or this deal was in our database for, 16 months, mm-hmm. and we got the deal.
Yep. Right?
They only got deals because they're banging on it.
Dude, and that's so important. I want people to take this a mental note of this and get out a damn piece of paper, take like a real note and take action on this, because we see in our business, it's not just a real estate thing. It's a human psychology. And like Jason mentioned, it's a time and circumstance thing. And in the industry, I don't care if you're selling shoes or toilets or buying real estate, it's the same thing. So what are you doing to crack through that clutter? Because there's a lot of clutter in the real estate market right now. Like Jason mentioned, there's lots of new investors piling in because the markets are good. And that's what happens when a market's good, whether it's the stock market or real estate market, the general public goes, awesome, it's a good time to get in, when it might not be the best time to get in. And then also you've got on the other side a lot of real estate agents, because they're like, wow, it's easy to sell a house right now as an agent. I'm going to pile in too. So you've got all these competing factions going for your sellers. There's the new investors, or there's the competitive investors, there's the agents, there's you. If you're just going out there and hitting them with the pay-per-click ad once, retargeting for a month or two, and that's it, you say, shoot, they didn't opt in, I'm done. It's not going to work. Keep that retargeting going for 12 months. Keep them in your email database. And like Jason said, do a Sly Broadcast, do email broadcasts, do all that stuff.
Speaking of retargeting, another thing that you can do is for those people who are coming to your site and actually opting in, or if they're calling in on the phone and your acquisitions reps are getting their data, mm-hmm. right, their contact information. Another thing that a lot of people are doing which again, and this is super cheap, right? You mentioned retargeting. Retargeting is like, it's ridiculous how inexpensive it is, right?
Yeah.
And it's highly effective. And so what you can do is you can scrape your database. Again, go back, scrape the last 90 days, export the email addresses, then import them into Facebook. Mm-hmm. And you can create a custom audience at that point who can then see your banner ads continually rotate. And when that person's time and circumstance changes and they're ready to sell their house, mm-hmm. you've been continuing to impression upon them,
yep.
right? And that's actually a super super effective, highly inexpensive, mm-hmm. Strategy.
And that, I mean, we could talk retargeting forever, but that kind of stuff, dude, I'm sure those are like deep conversations you guys have in CG. And if you guys are going to join a mastermind and go create your own, find people who are doing a lot of Facebook stuff, find people who are doing direct mail and share those ideas. Cause we just barely touched the surface of the retargeting thing. We go into a lot of advanced stuff, but we don't have time for it now. As soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, I should tell them this, this, and this. I'm like, nah, we don't have time for it. Like already hitting up on an hour. So, yeah. First of all, I really appreciate you hopping on here and us getting a chance to chat face to face again. I know we saw each other down in San Diego in January. I'm looking forward to connecting with you, shooting a couple months in San Diego again.
Yeah, I'll be here for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. And that's really cool that Craig's applying. Craig's been a client of ours for about 4 months now. We're doing pay-per-click for him, helping close his first pay-per-click deal about 45 days after he started with us, netted $30,000 on it. So we're going, okay, how do we ramp it up from here? And if it works out, dude, I'm really looking forward to connecting with Craig down there. If he's going to be there in June, and of course Martin and Gabriel, like you mentioned, is a Carrot client, and Brad, and the list goes on. So that's, I'm really excited, and it's just fun that we get to work together with a lot of great people, and I finally get to shake a lot of the hands of the people I've been talking with from years. So
yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on, brother. I've enjoyed it. I've always thought very highly of you, right? Like you have a stellar reputation. It's one of the things, you always seem peaceful to me, you know. when you run into business, sometimes that can be hard to maintain, right? Honored to have been here. I want to encourage anybody, no matter where you're at. CG, typically, we have a 50 deal a year minimum to get in, but mm-hmm. I don't care if you're doing 5 or 15 or 50 or more. I would encourage you in some format to find a mastermind. I don't know, and I have a lot of successful friends, and so does Trevor. I don't think I could hardly think of one that I don't know that is not in a mastermind of some mm-hmm. capacity. It's just what levels you up, yeah. right? Go look at that list that Trevor told you to create of all your challenges, and imagine being in a spot where you literally can pick up the phone and call someone at any time, no matter what that problem is, mm-hmm. that can fix it.
Yeah. Dude, it's so amazing. It's so amazing. And I'm going to say this, because this is something I didn't mention before as we wrap this up. One thing we do at Carrot is number one, dude, we've never promoted stuff as an affiliate. We just never have. Not saying there's anything wrong with it. We just never have. What we do is we partner with people that we really believe in what they have to offer. And I'm not saying this is an announcement, but it kind of is, I guess, if you're listening to this podcast, that we're officially, we're making CG the mastermind that we refer Carrot members to. It's going to be in our marketplace here very, very shortly, within weeks, hopefully. By the time you listen to this, it might be in our marketplace. If you're a Carrot member, go check out CG through there. You can Google CG too. I mean, you can find them online. Of course, we make some sort of a commission, just FTC stuff I got to throw out there, some legal, right? We make some sort of a commission if you guys do go through our marketplace. And if that's where you found out about CG, amazing. But all I care is that you guys get where you need to be for your business. If CG is the fit, awesome. Find them, whether it's through the marketplace, Google them, go to their website, whatever. You'll find them and you'll be in really, really good hands. And Jason, once again, just really appreciate you, dude, and appreciate everything that you're doing to help up-level this industry and really bring together the best of the best, so they can really work together to just make amazing things happen. So love it.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in June, which is our next meeting, and hanging out and being around smart people and mm-hmm. – hopefully walking out as better human beings, right? That's usually my ultimate goal.
Totally.
Just walking out as a better man. So I guess with that said, my friend, thank you.
Yep. Thank you, man. And everyone, guys and gals, there might be a link below the video if you're looking at it on YouTube or on our website, or if you're listening to it on Carrotcast, go to carrotcast.com and check out this episode, or just go to Collective Genius through Google, like I said, if you just want to bypass all that and go directly there. So go find a mastermind, even if it's local. Go up-level your game this year, guys and gals. And please check out the next episode of the Carrotcast here coming this next week, every single Tuesday. Early morning, we put out a new one with amazing entrepreneurs just like Jason. So have an amazing rest of the week, and we'll talk soon.